Hey there, gorgeous. Welcome to another episode of The Godfather Part 2 Minute with me, Alex Robinson.
And with me, Andy Robinson.
And we are back together, face-to-face, once again, recording live in person.
That's right. It's almost paradise.
Almost.
Almost.
Well, if it's almost paradise, we must be talking about Minute 163.
That's right, Alex. Repeat after me. Per favore, e minuto.
Numero.
163.
163.
You got it.
Wow, you did it.
Yeah, 163.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's
what's funny. I accidentally watched 183.
Oh, yeah?
So I wasn't wearing my glasses. Yeah. And I clicked 183. I'm like, what? Yeah. Wait a minute. I don't remember this happening at this point.
Well, let me see if I can guess what's happening.
It was way out.
183.
Yeah.
And I think it goes 202 altogether, something like that, 203 or something.
Yeah, it's not much later after that. I'll just tell you.
It's like halfway between now and the finish.
That's right, yeah.
What is it?
It was where Joey Zaza was getting mad at everybody.
Oh, bastardo. Yeah.
That's how far into the future I went. Well, tell us about the minute, Alex.
Well, in this minute, Mikey comforts the conflicted Kay Corleone after their loud argument in the Hotel Washington. Mike knows she blames him for the miscarriage, yes, but he's learned he can change and will make it up to her. Kay corrects him. It wasn't a miscarriage. No. That was no miscarriage.
Oh. you made yourself a little alliteration in there.
Oh, I always go for alliteration.
I loved it. Great. Did you have the word correcting in there? You said the correcting K later.
Oh, I said K corrects him. I should have said K Corleone corrects the... Anyway... So, yes, this is kind of the penultimate episode of, I'm assuming, in the argument, which goes, This is now 4 minutes of arguing we've had?
It feels like forever.
Long time. I would not have thought, if you had asked me, how long is the argument between Kay and Mikey? I would have been like, 2 minutes?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Here we are. It's almost it's a fourth minute of it. So, yeah. It's a long one.
Yeah, that's right. This is...
This really is the bulk of Diane Keaton's...
Yeah.
Dialogue. Yeah. Even though she only has 3 lines in the whole scene.
That's right, yeah.
So,
wow, I just realized that almost all of Kay Corleone's dialogue in this movie has to do with babies, right?
Babies, children.
The children.
Yeah.
Remember earlier, your favorite line about the baby sleeping inside her?
I keep bringing that up.
Oh, my gosh. So...
So yes, most of this minute is a Mikey monologue. Yeah. So I guess we can just go through it kind of in order. Does that count as a let's break it down?
Sure. Let's break it down. I guess we might be able to name this episode the Mikey monologue versus the correcting K Corleone. Mikey monologue. Yeah. They just call me monologue.
his nickname. If it's nickname, monologue, well, shut up.
Is that why? Because he just keeps talking?
I don't know.
There's no interaction, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Monologue. All right.
So, well, my first note has to do with, he says, I know you blame me for the miscarriage.
Yeah. Well, he says, I know you blame me for losing the baby.
Yes, for losing the baby. And he says, yes, after when he says that.
Yeah.
And,
yes, I know what that meant to you.
Two weird things. Number one is, why does he think she blames him? And number two, is this the first time they've discussed this matter? I definitely get the impression things are a bit frosty and they're a bit cool in the Corleone compound these days.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't see, she was just sewing, you know, that was, I guess, symbolic that they didn't have any talks because she was just sewing and he was just, you know.
Yeah, maybe every time she's sewing, that's some type of signal to him that she lost a baby.
Oh, it's like a Sicilian message. It's a Sicilian sewing message.
Sicilian sewing. You know, the women, The Sicilian women have their messages too.
So that's why when he was saying, she was like, "You're blind, Michael," it's because he literally was not seeing the Sicilian messages that she was leaving. She went through all the trouble of learning Sicilian messages, oh, and he didn't even bother looking. You know?
Yeah.
Put some.
Do you think Tessio understood the yes. Sicilian women's messages?
Oh yeah. He was their leading expert on. He was the local expert on Sicilian messages. Yeah. He's like the linguist of the. He's a cunning linguist, yes. That Tessio.
It's perfect for us. She lost another baby. That means a little. That
means Roth is willing to negotiate. Because her losing the baby was a Sicilian message.
That's
also,
right.
It's a never-ending series of Sicilian. So why does Mikey think that she blames him? Because of the whole, like, you said you were going to be straight in 5 years.
Yeah, it's
got to
be that.
The stress of this is
yeah, it's got to be that. I mean, they were almost murdered.
Yeah.
And they're in their home.
Yeah.
Where their children sleep with their toys. There's nothing more important.
Nothing more. I'm all these people running around with guns.
I guess it's got to be that. I can't think of anything else. Just him not being around, him focused so much on the family business.
Yeah.
Less business, more family.
Do you think this was a clue from Tom? Was he like, Mikey, I think she blames you for it.
Oh, maybe.
You know, like, and he's like, you should buy her a little electric car to make up for it.
Is that the role of a conciliary? Does he get involved in family matters? A good conciliary. What do you think?
I think it would depend on the Don. It's whatever style the Don is interested in.
Yeah.
If the Don is interested in having Tom's input.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine anyone's interested in Tom's input about anything, so let alone a personal relationship with his mistress in Las Vegas.
Well, the only reason I would think that Michael or any Don would want Tom Hagen's advice is so they could do the opposite.
Oh.
Because he's always at least one step behind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mikey, freeze her out. Don't talk to her. Don't do anything. Just let her sew.
Tom, you're out.
Oh, maybe I can help.
Oh, you're definitely out now.
That was like a Groucho Corleone. You're definitely out.
I never thought you were a bad Don. Actually, you were an exceptional one. It's just not in the way that you thought.
Exceptionally bad. So the thing I think that makes me that shake my head and say, "Oh, Michael," the most is when he says, "I know you blame me for losing the baby." Yes, it's like he's sort of thinking as those around you think. And he's like, if I say that to her, she's going to be shocked that I was able to deduce that she's mad, because she's never told me she's mad at me. But
yes.
If I say this, she'll be like, whoa, he has powers of deduction.
Yeah.
And so he goes, yes. And then,
yes.
But it's extra pathetic because she clearly does not blame him for losing the baby.
He was off.
I guess she could blame him in a higher sense. Like, she did this because of him and, like this whole Sicilian thing.
Yeah.
But it's cringy because Mikey's trying to be all like cool. Like, yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking.
Yeah,
even though he's like, could not be more wrong about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a repeat of the Fredo thing, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, you're
so,
right. Yeah.
Like, if Fredo had more confidence, he would have been like, Mikey, don't you see?
I know.
I talked to Roth months ago. There's something in it for me.
Oh, that's Mikey. Mikey, you aborted me months ago.
Oh.
And the way Michael says, yes, you're right. And there's some vibes of How to Win Friends and Influence People in there, too. I know we keep going back to that.
Yes, but showing interest in the things they're interested in, like how much they blame for losing the baby.
Oh, Michael, it's not yes, it's true, Kay. I know it. You blame me for the baby. Oh, but Michael, I know I can change.
Yeah, then he goes into the whole, I'll make it up to you.
Yeah, he says,
I'm going to change. Yeah, that's it. I have a strength to change.
Whoa. So you're, by the way you're reading it, I'm picking up that you feel that this is extremely desperate.
Well, it's so vague, because of him saying, you know what, I'll make it up to you. And he's like thinking, what does she want me to do? She wants me to be different.
Yeah.
I can change.
He doesn't change.
He doesn't give any specifics about how he can change. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I've learned, I have the strength to change.
Yeah.
And when did he learn he has the strength to change?
Well, I think that line is significant.
Okay.
I do, because you could, to answer that question, I think you could go back to the moment where Michael comes up with a plan to murder McCluskey and the Turk.
Right. But is this exactly the kind of thing you want to bring up to...
Well, I mean, obviously that's changing in a darker way, yeah. But...
But she said, Mikey, what do you mean? What do you mean you have the strength to change? Before, I was a wimpy guy. Now I'm the head of a crime family. Isn't that awesome?
Michael, but I think I think just because someone can change, well, I think it's very deep because
okay. mm-hmm.
because on one level, from his interpretation at the time was he was making a significant transformation in who he was for, from his perspective, to support his family and
right.
those he
what
loved.
What was needed to be done.
Yeah. yeah. And so that's one example. The other one was getting out of crime and getting into more legitimate businesses, or at least trying to
mm-hmm.
kind of change his attitude about the family business.
Yeah.
So there are examples of him changing, and that's why it's a great movie.
Because he does... Well, I don't think he changes in this film at all. I mean, I think he just goes from being like, it's more or less, it's funny how each of the Godfather movies basically kind of just takes the last scene and like expands on it for
yeah.
what the next movie is going to
yeah,
be. In the end,
yeah.
you see Mikey, you know, turning into the Don. And so the next movie is all about how the consequences of him doing that. And then at
yeah.
the last end of this movie, he's killed all his friends and family. And now in the next movie,
yeah.
you see the consequences of that.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you know, I'm thinking more about this. The previous scene. Wasn't the previous scene the big argument between Fredo and Michael? Yeah,
probably the yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and so,
well, actually, it was the courtroom, it was the
yeah, yeah
Frankie
yeah.
Five Angels,
right.
But yeah, the last scene before that was Fredo and
yeah, and so so he says, "I'm gonna change. I'll change. I've learned that I have the strength to change." I wonder if what significance does that dialogue have on his maybe emerging or already made decision to have Fredo killed? Is he saying, and ergo the pause, he says, I swear I'll make it up to you. I'm going to change.
Yeah.
Is he struggling with, I really want to kill Fredo right now because I can't trust him and therefore I'm going to change because I deep down I know that is terrible. Is he trying
yeah.
to convince himself of that, or is it hopeless? Kind of like it's hopeless with Kay too.
Yeah, I guess I see it as being totally just a... trying just, to like
oh,
tell her
yeah.
whatever she'll
yeah.
whatever he needs to say that will calm her down and get her to stay. You
yeah.
know what I mean? So he knows she wants him to change. So he'll say, I can change.
Yeah.
You know what I
so
mean?
So you don't think he has any, he's really just Johnny on the spot. I need to say whatever I need to at this moment to keep Kay here.
Well, I don't feel like we get any sense of regarding the Fredo thing. I don't really get a sense of torment on his part of should I
yeah.
do it, should I not do it, you know what I mean? As soon as Mama dies, he just looks at Al-Niri and is like, or Rocco,
yeah.
I forget who it is, and it's just like, go ahead and
yeah.
I guess it's Al-Niri, right?
Yeah,
it's Al. So Al, can you kill Fredo? What are you going for? What are you going to want you go to corpse valet?
Buonasera. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, and but I never really thought about him saying I have the strength to change as a reflection on,
yeah.
mm-hmm. on how he was from part one into, you know,
yeah.
the change he made in part two. So,
yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
I mean, unless we think that Michael always was that way, and even throughout the beginning of Godfather One, that was his destiny and he always had that in him. That's why when the opportunity came up, he just naturally...
So he was
naturally made those choices
as like an act of rebellion. He wanted to show that he was his own boss and
yeah.
and so on. It's funny in a way how it kind of parallels the whole puppet master Pezzo Fazzante argument, because in a way Mikey was sort of saying that to his father, saying like, well, I don't want you to be the one pulling my strings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I want to get out from under the puppet master just as you wanted to get out from under the Mr. Stevenson. So, you know, it's kind of, but then he ultimately does wind up going back just to prove that he was his own person. Now he's going back because he's choosing to go back, not because his father wanted him to.
Or I know.
If anything, his father didn't want him to.
Yeah.
Although it's confusing.
Yeah, it is.
He seems very happy when he shows up in the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
that's a great dynamic there.
Well, I guess he's happy when he shows up in the hospital, but he's not happy when he actually commits a crime.
Yeah. Although in the book, Don Corleone always thought that Michael would be the one to run the family. So I think he was happy.
I thought you were living Capo Corleone, Button Man Corleone. There was too much time, Michael.
Michael Five Angels Corleone. Do you think... I was going to go back to Tatalia and his Don.
Uh-huh.
Do you think Tatalia's Don... totally pivoting to what we were talking about before. Does Tatalia's Don... not Don, Consigliere, guide him in matters of his personal relationships?
Again, I really think it's like a consigliere is like a whatever the Don needs him to do. So if the Don, if Tatalia is like, I need you to keep track of all the women I've slept with so I don't double up accidentally, then that's the consigliere is going to do.
Oh,
put a book together, all the names. Oh, no, you slept with her 3 years ago.
But it's not the place of the consigliere to say, oh, Don Tatalia. all the consigliers have the same voice. Don Tatalia, I just have to let you know that these three women you're interested in are have venereal diseases. It's documented.
Oh, yeah, but in that case...
And if you sleep with them, you'll have to show up in the hospital in the morning and get vaccinated. Get antibiotics.
Yeah.
So you think he does...
Assuming, again, that Tatalia wants that input.
Okay.
If he's like, hey, listen, consigliere, if I want your medical opinion, I'll hire a doctor. You know what I mean? He can say that. He's like, my bad. I'll go run for cover. So it really depends on the...
it'd be great if Tatalia, every week, he goes, oh, I'm thinking of marrying this woman. It's the Don or the consigliere that keeps stopping him from getting married because there's... He's the worst Don. It's really the conciliary who just controls him.
It's like what Fredo would have been. Fredo was that they would have just given him I remember someone saying about a recent president we had that if you just built a replica White House and put TV cameras pointing at him and everyone saying, oh, you're so great, that's all he would care about. Like,
oh my God.
If you did that, put that, built a remote cabin with a White House set and just let him talk on TV all day long, that's all he wants out of being the president.
That's
really
hilarious. Just so,
they do a similar thing with Tatalia. They just put it in Fredo. They just build like a separate Don room with. Give him some Christmas lights to untangle or something.
Wait a minute, is that the keep busy activity?
I don't know. It just seems like something.
Oh, you just made that up. That's funny.
Yeah. Oh no, I think someone said and they gave someone Christmas lights and they just like as a distraction. So yeah,
that's great. Well, let's see what else he got.
Well, so when she says, I love Diane Keaton, it's a combination of Diane Keaton's acting and Francis Ford Coppola's editing, where throughout this minute, it's just Diane Keaton just like staring open mouthed in Michael's eyes.
Yeah.
She really cannot believe what she's hearing.
Yeah. She's somewhat dumbfounded, a little mad, and it's sometimes it doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Well,
maybe it is because it's just so stunning, the whole conversation.
And it's such a rare misstep on Mikey's part. Like every other negotiation, he's always been one step ahead of everyone else. And this one, having him so like K outsmarting him, it just seems like, oh,
yeah,
Mikey, you need to get some rest because you're clearly not functioning on your full. You're running on fumes,
Michael. Even I could have seen that coming.
So I said, Kay looking at her amazing, and then she goes, oh, Michael, it wasn't a miscarriage. It was Barzini all along.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's like, oh, you mean a miscarriage?
I just realized it wasn't a miscarriage.
So, yeah, that's how it should have ended.
So there's a line before that.
Yeah.
Mikey says, I've learned that I have the strength to change. and you'll forget about this miscarriage, and we'll have another child, and we'll go on. You and I will go on.
Mm-hmm, as like a family.
Yeah, so he's already...
Doesn't include Anthony or Mary in those things. It's just you and I.
Yeah.
And those other two people will live with us sometimes.
What do you think about that line, and we'll have another child? Is that just a more of the same that he's saying, yeah, I understand you miscarried, you blame me, we're going to have another child to fill that hole?
Yeah. I think overall he thinks, probably very typically of his generation, he probably thinks women are a little simple.
Yeah.
And she's sad because she lost the baby, therefore I will give you a new baby. We are now equal, you know, now it's back to how it was. We have a baby now, you can go about your business and keep doing the house and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, I guess so. He's way off.
I mean, I don't know what Kay does want. I mean, obviously she wants him to get out of the mafia business.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Because he never brings that up as a source of the problem. He just says, I can change, and we're going to have another baby. He doesn't say, that's it. I'm out of the business. I'm going to hand it all over, and I'm done, and whatever. You know,
that's a really good point.
Because he knows he's not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, does she want him to go legit? And he's trying to do that.
Is he?
Oh, you think that part of him relishes the fight?
Well, I mean, people generally like being powerful, and they're not inclined. What if they have something that makes them powerful? It seems like they're reluctant to surrender that.
Interesting.
Because like, what is the holdup?
I mean, this whole maybe just enough money to do.
That's what I mean. So it's not. It's greed. That's why he's. I mean, they have a compound. They have, like, it doesn't seem like they're hurting for money. What's the...
They're wealthy. He wants to be super rich.
Whatever the definition is.
So you think he wants to hold on to it, possibly?
I think he does.
That's funny. I never really thought about that. I was just assumed he was trying to get out. But maybe it's his strength of character or his lack of strength of character, knowing when...
It seems like if you're at the point where, and stop me if I'm wrong, if you're at the point where, okay, after my mom dies, I'm going to kill my brother, and then, like, it seems like that should be a wake-up call. I'd be like, well, what am I talking about? Like, why am I going to kill my brother? Because of all this mafia?
Yeah.
All this mafia business?
Like, yeah.
Hand it over to him and okay, it's yours. Bye.
The
Don is dead. Like he put in his 5 years trying to save the family.
Yeah.
And,
do you think part of him
maybe
feels
it's like a tax thing? You know, they're going to get hit by taxes. You know, they have to wait till it rolls over.
I'm moving all of our funds. As soon as we give up the shares in the casinos, moving all our funds to Roth IRAs.
Wait a minute. Well, maybe this is all Tom's doing. We don't know where. Because we don't know if Tom's like, Mikey, you can't get out of the business now. You have 5 years from now, it'll be much better. 10 years, you know, like maybe he doesn't want to go back to being a dumb lawyer. Yeah. He wants to, you know, he likes to, he's addicted to the
Mikey, please,
the high stakes world of
Mikey, please. All I have is my notary business. Don't send me back there.
You've seen the commercials.
I'm locked into only having one client. And if they only need a notary, it doesn't pay well. Well, also, earlier in the movie, Mikey said to Kay, he says, I'm unlike any, or maybe he's talking about Don Vito, I'm unlike any other powerful man that is responsible for other people.
Yes.
Maybe that's the reason he doesn't get out, or not as quickly, because he could get out and take care of his own immediate nuclear family.
Yeah.
But he has all these people on the payroll. They got people in the newspapers on the payroll. You know, they got to keep feeding them stories. Keep these people fed. They have families too.
But why does Mikey have to be involved? Like, out of all the people, why is he the one who has to take care of all these people?
Because Don Vito did it. Because Pop wanted it that way.
Yeah, but that's his way of doing this is over. He said that, you know?
Yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
So it's tough to know what Mikey, we don't really know. I mean, obviously by the time we get... All right, everyone, that music means the paywalls are coming down. If you want to hear the rest of the episode, go on your computer. I thought you were going to do sound effects for everything. Go to godfatherminute.com/support. And you can not only hear the rest of the episode, you get to hear hours and hours of bonus content.
Yeah.
7-day free trial. Give it a shot. If you don't like it, doesn't cost you anything.
And you can listen anytime that you want. And it's available 24/7. You can listen on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday.
No!